Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, March 27, 2017. I am Jason Powell, and before we get into anything, it's that time. WrestleMania week is here, and with it, our annual WrestleMania season special. We are offering new members a great opportunity to jump on board an Experience.net membership, and I'll be honest, if you are an existing member, hey, nothing stopping you from taking advantage of it either. I just want to remind you, if you do, be sure to cancel your current membership so you avoid double billing. But here's the special for this year. I'm breaking the news here. Not even on the site yet. If you missed some of this, check before Raw. I'll definitely have the info available on the main page of ProWrestling.net before Raw. But I want to give you guys here on the audio side, first crack, 1 month of .net membership, just $2, $5.50 off for 1 month. 6 months of .net membership, $12 off, brings it down to an average of $4.50 per month. The big kahuna, you can get .net membership on average $4 per month, $18 off of our usual annual membership. Here's your coupon codes. Ready? For 1 month, to get $2 for 1 month, 33MANIA1. You don't need to spell out the numbers. 33MANIA1. Coupon code 2, the 6 month special. That knocks 12 bucks off that price, brings it down to an average of $4.50 per month. 33MANIA6. Again, don't spell that anything out other than Mania. 33MANIA6. And the Big Kahuna, the annual membership, knocking $18 off the price tag, averaging it out to $4 per month for .net membership. 33MANIA12. 33MANIA12. Enter those coupon codes once you're in the sign-up area at ProWrestling.net. Whatever one works best for you, and you will save big time on ProWrestling.net membership. As you guys know, we don't do a ton of sales. We're not like a Kohl's outlet store. We're constantly doing a sale. We don't do many of these, and this will be our best pricing of the year for the annual option. $4 per month. Jump on it. All the details available, again, a little bit later on today, depending on when you're listening to this. I just wanted to give you guys first listen right here on the ProWrestling.net audio side of things. And also want to tell you guys that coming up, we will be having ProWrestling.net Live. The show will be returning on WrestleMania Sunday. That will be a 2 Central, 3 Eastern start. With WrestleMania starting at 4, we're gonna make sure we get on the air beforehand and make sure we're off the air by the time the actual kickoff show starts. You have live coverage, of course, of the kickoff show, WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame, NXT, all that good stuff this weekend by yours truly at ProWrestling.net, and I look forward to talking to you guys on ProWrestling.net Live, returning on Sunday afternoon, 2 Central, 3 Eastern, and there will be additional shows on Monday and Tuesday. I'll have co-host information available in the near future as well. Easy way to remember this, pwaudio.net. pwaudio.net will bring you right to our Blog Talk Radio location. Again, I'll have all the info available on that on the main page. Over the next few days, starting today, you will be hearing some interviews, a little bit of special audio content for you guys heading into WrestleMania. And we are starting today with Ring of Honor's Frankie Kazarian. And Frankie talked about how much input he had into the recent angle that led to Christopher Daniels becoming the ROH champion, Frankie joining Bullet Club, and then revealing Swerve. I was with Daniels all along. We talked a lot about that. Rumors of WWE's interest in purchasing Ring of Honor, and much more. Enjoy the interview, and don't forget, all those coupons can be entered at ProWrestling.net in the sign-up area. We would love to have you enjoy the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, all of the audio content that we have to offer to the members. They'll be hearing my Raw audio review tonight, my SmackDown audio review coming up, of course, on Tuesday night. The members will also hear the Triple Threat audio with Jake Barnett, Will Pruitt, and I getting together after WrestleMania that night. I'm sure we'll go at least an hour. I'm going to undersell that one because chances are, with it being such a long show, we'll spend plenty of time discussing the biggest show of the year. Plus, we'll have preview shows leading up to it. I'm sure .NET Weekly will be dedicated largely to WrestleMania discussion as it has has been here the last couple of weeks, and that's just we're just basically we're barely even scratching the surface of all the audio content available exclusively to .NET members, all the major television shows, all the major pay-per-view events covered in audio form. Jump on board. This special is not going to last long. It is here for the biggest show of the year, and we hope you take advantage of it. And if you have any questions, as always, feel free to email me at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter, and you can certainly ask me any questions there at ProWrestlingNet. With that said, enjoy the Frankie Kazarian interview, and I'll be back tomorrow with another ProWrestling.net exclusive interview.
Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor coming up April 1st in Lakeland, Florida at the Lakeland Center Jenkins Arena. And bigger than that, it is now available on the Fight TV app as a pay-per-view live that Saturday night from WrestleMania weekend. And my guest today is Frankie Kazarian. And Frankie, just came out, I think, fairly recently. You were working Punishment Martinez at the Supercard of Honor event. Have you worked very much with young Punishment Martinez?
Well, you know, my first interaction with Punishment was in Las Vegas at the 50th anniversary television tapings, and dude is the real deal. I mean, he, you know, we're in an era where pretty much everybody's an incredible athlete, and in addition to being, you know, good wrestlers, this is a guy that's, you know, north of 6'6" and does stuff the cruiserweights are doing. And he's dangerous, and he's young, and he's hungry, and he's a great addition to the roster. And I'm psyched to be kind of the first real, you know, test as far as a singles match goes against him. Yeah, he's been in there with other guys, but he hasn't been in there with somebody who has the experience and wherewithal that I have. So I'm looking forward to it, especially on that weekend.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. He stood out, I mean, just from the moment. I think he was in the top prospect tournament, maybe, and you just see him, and it's like, whoa. You know, and there's not a lot of guys. You know, so many guys these days just are certain size, certain, you know, there's just kind of everyone seems to be around that point. So when you get a guy like that, he just grabs your attention, and then he starts doing some of these moves, like you say. So that's going to be a lot of fun. You mentioned the 15th anniversary. You talked about the TV taping, but I'm actually curious to know, how much input did you have in the storyline that saw you work as kind of a double agent with Bullet Club and ultimately help Christopher Daniels win the ROH Championship?
Well, to be honest, I had as much input into that story as I've had with anything in my career. I, without being braggadocious, I, you know, want to say I was kind of the architect behind that, along with, you know, Christopher Daniels and a couple other buds that we always bounce ideas off of. And, you know, the story, you know, it was kind of mapped out in a certain direction, and I kind of pitched this whole thing, kind of the smokescreen, the Mike Tyson DX, you know, what if I ultimately turn on Chris Daniels and join the Bullet Club, you know, but why would I turn on Chris Daniels? Well, the thought was Chris Daniels didn't do anything to me, no, but in my mind, he was being selfish by going after these single goals while focus was always on the tag team, the Addiction. So I got frustrated with it, and I got frustrated with him focusing only on that and leaving me in his wake. So I you know, I took the you can't beat him, you join him approach. And what I'm most proud of is that it worked, is that in 2017, for the most part, we got him, which is very difficult to do. And you know, I went so far as to get Bullet Club gear made and the reveal with the T-shirt. And just, it's one of those things that I think everything clicked, right night, right guy, Christopher Daniels, couldn't be more deserving, right opponent, Adam Cole, one of the absolute best out there, Bullet Club, nothing needs to be said about them, they're super over, super hot, all the stars aligned, man, and I thought it was a super cool night, very special, very very emotional for me to see my best friend finally reach the pinnacle of what he's been after, and it's just a fun night for wrestling fans, man, and for wrestling in general.
You know, I was actually doing someone else's podcast, and I, you know, I review the show every week for the site and all of that, and it wasn't until somebody else mentioned, you know, I wonder if Frankie's going to turn on Bullet Club. It didn't even cross my mind. You guys did a great job with that. And it's rare that, you know, something catches me that off guard these days. So I really appreciated that. And even, you know, into the match, it's like, well, I think it probably going to happen, but not quite sure. So very well played. Now, looking back on it, okay, you would have been set up in a pretty good position as far as challenging the ROH champion. You probably would have got a cut of that sweet Bullet Club merchandise. Any regrets about this?
No, not at all, man. It was all a ruse. The swerve went off without a hitch, and there's no way I could regret anything about it. Bullet Club doesn't need me, and I don't need Bullet Club. I think, you know, we're good friends but better enemies, you know, to steal a pay-per-view line for fellow wrestling nerds that remember the In Your House pay-per-views.
Sure.
As far as the Bullet Club merch money, that's now being split, you know, 8 to 10 ways, so I'm okay with that. I like that. I just like how it all unfolded. Like you said, it was, you know, we had people guessing. I had people legitimately on Twitter angry and cursing me and swearing at me and asking how I could do this, and just, you know, to get that type of emotion out of people immediately. The night I turned, Chris Daniels, quote-unquote, turned, I knew right then and there, I was like, we got him, and this is going to work. And everybody was on board, and everybody played their parts just to a T. And there's a moment in the match when Adam Cole hands me the belt to hit Chris, and there was a buzz in that building that was just unreal. It's like, it's one of those moments you experience a lot. Just that buzz of what's he going to do? Is he going to hit CD? Is he going to hit out of what's going on? And then the reveal happened, and I was psyched, man. It was just one of those experiences I'll remember for a long time.
Very cool. And where does, you know, beyond just working with Punishment Martinez, where does the Frankie Kazarian character go from here?
Well, you know, that night on the pay-per-view, the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, I earned a number one contender title shot for the television title,
right,
held by Marty Scurll, a guy who I'm a huge fan of, and super entertaining, just a lot of buzz behind him, rightfully so. And, you know, the Addiction is bigger and better than ever, and the Addiction will live on forever. Chris is going to do his thing, and keeping the title is harder than winning the title. And I got my own singles goals. Yes, there will still be tag team matches. We're still going to roll together. He's still my best friend. But you know what? I since I've been at Ring of Honor, I haven't really had the opportunity to carve out a niche for my singles career and to show the audience what I can do moving forward. And moving forward, my first plan of action is the Ring of Honor television title and to climb that ladder. And I'm really psyched because this presents a whole new set of challenges, a whole new set of really, really good opponents, and I'm working for the best wrestling company on planet Earth, man.
And I would assume there's going to be a few dates with Bullet Club members in there, given the storyline.
Sure. The Bullet Club guys will want their recompense, so I welcome that with open arms. I'm no stranger to the Bullet Club. The Young Bucks and ourselves have danced a few times, famously. Hey, Bullet Club's hot, so why wouldn't I want to be right in the mix with them?
Absolutely. One of the big stories of this week is word coming out that WWE has at least had talks with Sinclair Broadcast Group about the possibility of purchasing Ring of Honor. And nothing official, obviously, but does the potential of something like that excite you, or do you see it as being more of a negative than a positive?
As far as it being a negative or a positive, I think that's yet to be determined. You know, we would have to, if that were to happen hypothetically, we would have to look 3 to 5 years down the line to see if it was ultimately beneficial or not. WWE is the big dog in the yard, and I think at the end of the day they want to own wrestling, and rightfully so, because when the average person thinks about pro wrestling, they think of WWE. And that's no disrespect to other companies, because I, again, think the Ring of Honor has the best wrestling in-ring product on the planet. But I see where WWE is coming from, if these rumors are true, which who even knows, just of wanting to acquire content, because they have a network and they have customers that are always going to demand new content. And what better to get than a very, very, very popular product that has a built-in fan base, that has an incredible tape library with some of your top stars. I personally, you know, I hearken back to the days when there were, I don't want to say it's the territory days, because I'm not that much of an old-timer, but where there were different places for guys to go instead of everything falling under one banner, if you get what I'm saying. You know, I like that there's a Ring of Honor, and I like that there's a Lucha Underground, and that there's a TNA, and that there's a New Japan, and, you know, still different territories in their own ways. You know, because there's enough to go around, as is evident from the last several years. There's enough to go around. Wrestling fans are filling buildings from Armory Hall to Madison Square Garden, and the business is doing good right now. And I think if we just leave it be and let it expand at a natural rate, I think that'll be best for everyone. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things that scares me about a potential deal like that is, you know, we've seen WWE's version of WCW and even ECW. Who knows what they would do with Ring of Honor, if it would exist in some way, if they would just use the library. But I guess the part that scares me is that Ring of Honor has been such an amazing feeder system for WWE indirectly over the years. That would be a huge loss for this industry if something were to happen to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You know, if you look at some of the top guys in WWE right now, obviously it's no secret that a lot of those guys came through the Ring of Honor system, you know, if albeit briefly. Some guys started their career there and built their fan base there. And yeah, you're right, that would be a huge loss. You know, if it just became, you know, WWE presents Ring of Honor. And I think, you know, and I can't obviously speak for the fan base, but I think Ring of Honor's fan base is very, very passionate, very hardcore, and very loyal. And I think that they would really consider a buyout, like a sellout. You know, it would be their favorite punk band got signed to a major label, and now they're going to go make, you know, pop music, basically. I think that would be the perception from a lot of fans, from the outside looking in. And they certainly have the right to think that. And I can't say that I don't agree with that either. But I think it's best to let sleeping dogs lie, let WWE be the big dog in the yard, and let everyone else do what they do and let the fans be entertained and have access to more wrestling now than has ever been possible on planet Earth.
Now, I think you may have pulled off one of the greatest cons in pro wrestling, and I'm not even referring to the Swerve on Bullet Club.
Oh, that's just me being in the business for 19 years. I've fooled everybody.
Well, here's where I'm going with this, is that, you know, everyone talks about your longtime buddy, who, as we speak, is just hours away from turning 47 years old.
Yeah.
You're the young guy in comparison.
Yeah.
But you're just months away from turning 40 yourself. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good because of what I'm doing now, the spot I'm in now, the shape I'm in now, the matches I'm having. I would have never thought, as a 39-year-old man with 19 years of bumps behind me, that I would look, feel, and be moving so good and having matches at a high quality against high-quality opponents, some of whom are in their early 20s, and completely fitting in. So it's pretty cool, and it's good to have a best friend that's known as the old guy in the business. I'll never be the old guy. I'll always be the younger guy, you know. But I'm enjoying my last year in my 30s. I got to remember telling myself in my 20s that, like, yeah, when I'm 40, I think it's going to be time to hang it up. You know, fast forward, and I'm having the time of my life. I'm traveling the road with some of my best friends. I'm having great matches and a company that demands you to have great matches. So it's literally, to be cliche, age is just a number, and I feel great. And anyone who looks at mine or Christopher Daniels' body of work, since you mentioned him, you know, I think somehow we found the fountain of youth. You know, might have something to do with that deal we made with the devil several years back. But we're having fun, man. We're both kicking ass.
Well, and if it makes you feel better, last time that you were on with me, I let you know that we actually share a birthday, and I will be 45 the day you turn 40. So,
okay, so you got a few years on me, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. But you know, I bring up the age thing. I remember asking Chris, a few years ago, how much longer he planned to do that. I guess when you approach the milestone, people got to start asking you that. So, Frankie, how much longer are you looking at doing this?
Again, you know what? Years ago, being a younger man, maybe a little bit naive, I always told myself, you know, 40s, you might want to look into something else. And then it started to become well, man, as long as I'm having fun,
yeah,
you know, we'll see how much longer I could do it. And then, hey, I'm having fun, I'm making money, and I'm still competing at a top level. Like, I haven't lost a step in the ring. And that's not me being braggadocious, that's just stating a fact. So, and I also think that I've come to the realization that I have a lot to offer this business still in the ring, but in addition to that, behind the scenes and in numerous different ways. And instead of being closed-minded and being a guy that, oh, when I'm done, I'm done, you know, there might be something that I think I could really excel at behind the scenes when my in-ring career is done. But, you know, hey, looking at all I got to do is look to my right-hand man, my best friend, Christopher Daniels. I don't need any more inspiration up to that. The guy's going to be 47, and he still moves like a 20-year-old cruiserweight. So, you know, that gets me up. It gets me going. It gets me in the gym every morning, and it gets me gets the creativity flowing in terms of matches, and he's the one to keep up with.
Now, hopefully that day is many years away, but right now, what appeals to you more behind the scene? Maybe agent / producer, or would you prefer to train? What jumps out at you as far as a future within the industry after the in-ring career is done?
I mean, a lot of people, I get that question a lot, and I get people asking me what I would do, and people telling me, I think you'd be a great trainer, or I think you would, you know, I've done a lot of color commentary lately, and I've really taken to that. I think I could, if I really sunk my teeth into that, that's something I could do and have fun at. Whether I could sit for a whole 3-hour pay-per-view and do it, that's yet to be determined, because I've only done, you know, a match or so. But
sure.
I really, really have a lot of fun doing that, especially with guys like Kevin Kelly and Ian Riccaboni and, you know, Steve Corino, even when he was with the company. And as far as agenting, I would be happy to do that. Again, I don't know if I, you know, perhaps my selfish nature, I might not necessarily be good at helping others put something together, because I'm really only thinking for myself first and foremost, because it's a selfish business. But I really think I could. It's yet to be determined. And as far as training guys, I had a great trainer in Killa Kowalski, and I think, I don't know if I would necessarily be the nuts and bolts training guy, but in terms of explaining to people where to do stuff, why to do stuff, I think I could do decent at that.
How much pride do you take right now? And so, you know, we've talked about Chris's ROH champion, and then some of your other running buddies have had found quite a bit of success with AJ Styles and Samoa Joe in WWE.
I mean, those are my best friends, man. You just mentioned those were the guys at my wedding party.
Wow.
You know, yeah. So could not be happier. Just to come up with those guys and to know them as long as I've had. We know our families, and we've been through the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and those guys are legitimate brothers to me. And, you know, to see what AJ's done is, it's very, very rewarding for me, but it's not shocking. You know, like, he was the best kept, or the worst kept secret in the business for years. You know, now just that he's on that global stage, people are finally realizing that he is the best wrestler in the world. And Samoa Joe, the way he's been presented has been awesome. Joe always has been great at taking an opportunity and making the absolute most out of it, because he's a badass and he is a focused individual, and he looks great and he's moving great and he's cutting great promos. And I'm thrilled for both of those guys. Just don't let either of them know it, because especially Joe, I don't want his head to get any bigger. And yes, that's a big head joke, literally and figuratively. Joe is a giant head.
Any aspirations at this point in your life to join them, or does that WWE schedule not hold much appeal?
I mean, you know, that's not necessarily for me to say. I mean, if the interest was there and the opportunity presented itself, certainly it's something that, you know, I would entertain. I do have a 4-year-old boy now, and I enjoy spending as much time with him as I can. But having said that, you know, ultimately what's going to define my legacy? And if it were to be something like that, if that offer was there, maybe that's a door I go in. I couldn't say, but it's, again, to beat the hell out of an old cliche, you never say never in this business, because if you look at what's happened in the last 2 or 3 years of pro wrestling, if you went back 5, 6 years before that, you would have never thought the guys who aren't where they are would be there. You would never think that WWE would have Samoa Joe and AJ Styles as top guys, just because there was just kind of, it was just kind of taboo at that point. So, you know, never say never to that. I'm a businessman at the end of the day, and I got to do what's best for me and my family.
How has your wife, how has she handled the transition away from wrestling? Of course, for those who don't know, Tracy Brooks, you were married to, and she's been out of the business how long, roughly?
She's been out of the business 5 years now. Our son is 4 years old. She's great. I mean, you know, she was very grateful for her career. She did more than she ever thought she would. She's a small town girl from St. Mary's, Ontario, Canada, who had a dream and was kind of laughed out of the room when she told people her dream, and went on and succeeded and got to see the world, make some great friends, do some great things. And she was perfectly content to get out. She, you know, oftentimes when I'm packing, I'm going to a convention or a show, she'll kind of like go like, oh God, I don't miss that. You know, just certain things about it. She loves it. She's still friendly with a lot of people in it, but she had her time. She's a professional mommy now, and she's excels at that. And she's in addition to being a supportive wife, because, you know, who knows a wrestler's wife better than a fellow wrestler?
Do you get critiqued by the wife?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you get critiqued by your wife as far as like, hey, you could have done this better?
Well, yeah, I mean, she's always, you know, she always puts me over. She knows better. but no, she's good to bounce ideas off of, and she's, you know, listens to my gripes or listens to my ideas, or, you know, she will, if I have an idea, she'll critique it, or, you know, or if I have a question of, I think about asking, you know, I'd ask her first if I should ask the certain person this. So yeah, she's a good sounding board to have, that's for sure.
Now, you're a guy who's, you know, we think of you as the wrestler, but you were telling me, I definitely want to talk about your band in a minute, but you were telling me before we went on that you just came back from you just returned from an audition. I didn't know you were, how long have you been interested in acting?
Well, that kind of comes with being in Southern California. And, you know, this is where it happens, television, movies. You know, for years I've gotten the random calls and, you know, I've auditioned for numerous television shows and movies and commercials. And this is going back to like my early days in SoCal. So it's just one of those things of when I'm home and the schedule allows, I have a couple people that kind of work as agents for me, and they'll send me sides and tell me to be at this casting director's, and I'll go, and you know, I've gotten a couple roles, and which I've been very, very lucky and very blessed to have done that. But yeah, this has just been something that being in Southern California kind of benefits me. And so I've kind of, you know, tried to take it a bit more seriously and try to, you know, go out and do the photo, the headshot thing, and, you know, get a good resume together, because it just, you know, it's additional income, it's experience, and being out here, you never know what it could lead to. It's funny, you know, we always, when we go to these casting calls, it's usually the same cast of characters. It's myself, you got a John Morrison sitting around, Brian Cage to wander in, Aaron Aguilera, Hardcore Kid, Christopher Daniels, Paul London, kind of all this. There's this crew of about seven of us that are SoCal guys / wrestlers / actors. So it's usually those type of cats. But it's cool, man. You know, I never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be in a movie or television show or be going on audition. So it's pretty sweet to kind of step outside and just think about how thankful and grateful I am for all this.
Very cool. Anything coming up that we should know about?
Yeah, Christopher Daniels and I taped the show for GLOW. One of the wrestling scenes were in that.
Oh, the Netflix series, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, so I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but I can actually ask. But yeah, we taped that months ago, and we have a few scenes in one of the, early on, I did a lot of like commercial and some television shows, The Man Show and Blind Date. And Christopher Daniels and I actually did an episode of The Nick Kroll Show a couple years ago that ultimately didn't air, which was unfortunate because it was very, very funny. Rocky Romero was on it as well. He's another one. He's another one of those faces that shows up. So, yeah, man, you never know. I just, you know, if I'm available to do it, I'll do the audition. The worst thing that I can be told is no, and I've been told no before, so it's fine.
Well, tell me about Vex Temper and the album Doom Engine.
Yeah, man, that's my band. That's what I'm doing when I'm not, you know, on the road, and all my focus is not on wrestling. When I have time at home, when I'm not with my family, all my energy is focused on Vex Temper, which is my band. I play bass guitar in. Basically, you know, a bunch of my buddies when I moved back to Southern California, guys who I knew played music and were great musicians, we got together and started jamming, and, you know, after a while had written a couple of original songs and they were sounding good, so we booked some gigs, wrote some more songs, and, you know, we thought we had something and some really cool what we call desert metal, hard rock. And so over the course of last September through December, we recorded our album. We had it mixed this January, mixed and mastered, got it finalized in February, and got it set to come out April 7th. I've released two songs.
Oh, go ahead.
I've released two songs so far on iTunes and all streaming outlets, and put one up on our YouTube page. And yeah, man, it's something I love as much as I do pro wrestling, and it's just a different way for me to express myself creatively. I love playing music. I love heavy metal and hard rock, and it's another, you know, again, if you would have told 8-year-old me that I'd be in a rock band playing gigs in addition to wrestling, you know, that was my dream. So I'm living the dream to beat to death yet another cliche. You're going to have to put a warning on this interview that heavy with cliches. So if you're consistent with the cliches, please. Yeah.
Gotcha. With Vex Temper, correct me if I'm wrong, the theme song you use in Ring of Honor is actually a Vex Temper song.
That is correct. And that came about when Christopher Daniels and myself turned heel or turned bad guy, whichever phrase we're going to use, the first time in 2015. We needed to switch our music because we were switching our attitude, and, you know, you need to completely flip the switch. And we were told we needed new music, and I was sent to a web page to pick out stock music, basically. And I asked management at the time, I said, hey, I have a band. If we were to write and record something, would that be okay? They said, sure, absolutely, but they needed it by a certain date. So I had about a month to come up with a song. So that night, I literally took my guitar, which I don't really play a lot because I play bass, and wrote the main riff, and wrote the chorus, wrote the melody, presented it to my guys, and I told them, hey, man, we have an opportunity to write interest music. They were psyched and immediately jumped on it and wrote Get Addicted. And they loved it, and that's what we come out to. And the thing about that song is it's very different from every other song that's going to be on the album. That song is going to be on the Doom Engine album. But just the swing and the tempo and the beat, it's very different. It's very, it's probably our most accessible song compared to some of our other 9-minute heavy metal songs.
Sure.
But it's cool, man. And, again, to have that opportunity is just something that I kind of, you know, got to step back and think, wow, that's super cool. Every time I'm out there and I'm hitting a beauty shot on the top rope, and I can hear my lead singer singing, and, you know, hear my band, it's my band. It's pretty cool.
That song's got a great groove to it. I eventually learned that it was your band doing it, but, you know, I had no idea. It's certainly better than Romero's push, but the stuff he's putting out there. I'm a fellow metal guy too, so I see you guys are teasing the possibility of collaboration. You got to make them go metal, Frankie.
Hey, man, you know what? Yeah, that was funny. That was just a joke the other day on Twitter, and we kind of went back and forth. And, I don't know if the world's ready for Roppongi Vex.
wow.
Hey, man, you never know. You know, I have no problem, laying down a very, very riff-heavy song for him to maybe do his rhythmic stylings over. And who knows? Maybe we'll collaborate and, you know, pick a good charity and make something together and donate proceeds to that, man. Who knows? You never can tell.
Well, anything else you want to push before we get out of here? Any social media or any more details about Vex Temper, Doom Engine, April 7th?
Yeah, I mean, Vex Temper on across all formats, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a YouTube page you can visit. I'm actively trying to put more stuff up now, just jam room footage and stuff. The album's out April 7th digitally. We're also going to have physical copies because I am a big fan of physical music. We have a gig for anybody in the Southern California area. We have a gig April 13th. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, April 15th. April 15th. God, I don't even know my own gigs. April 15th at the Boondocks Tavern in Banning, California. If you're around, come check it out. It'll be a great night of rock and roll, playing with the band Gutter Candy. And for the regular boring old wrestler me, you can follow me at Frankie Kazarian on Twitter. I'm pretty active on Twitter. I sometimes tweet about wrestling, a lot of times tweet about politics and the nonsense that ensues because of them. So be prepared.
And there may be a few Metallica tweets in there, too.
A few, yeah. Definitely heavy metal, rock and roll, movies, pop culture stuff. And I love chatting about music. You know, that's one great thing about being at these shows and meeting these Ring of Honor fans and just fans from around the world. People come up to me and they immediately just start talking to me about rock and metal, and I love that. Because as much as I love wrestling, you know, you got to realize we're talking about it and living and breathing and eating and sleeping it all the time. So when someone wants to come up and chat metal or rock, I really dig that, man, and I'll never turn away that conversation.
Well, awesome. Hey, it's always a pleasure. I really appreciate you doing the show again, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you very much, man. Yeah, we'll do it again, all right?